couple of weeks ago, as we were reading the story of the young man that came to Jesus and wanted to inherit eternal life, we remember Jesus' reply was twofold: obey the commandments and follow me. In other words, this was the way to inherit heaven, eternal life, the blessings that God has for us in life. We talked about how there is this two-part salvation covenant that continuously brings us full circle. In the Old Testament, the covenant was the law. You obey the law and God will bless you. In the New Testament, the covenant is a covenant of grace, that by believing in God's atoning Son, Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. You see, it wasn't either or. It's a this and that. It's both parts of this gospel coming together in the Old and the New Testament, in the Old and the New Covenant, in the Old and the New Agreement. We remember the example we used was a coin, and how the coin had two sides, and it only had value if you considered two sides. If you gave somebody a coin in which one side was defaced, they'd probably give it back to you and say, this isn't any good. It's been defiled. We talked about the newspaper article where you come to the end of the article, the end of the page, I'm sorry, and at the bottom of the page you see in parentheses in big letters, over, or turn to page so-and-so, because it isn't all there on that one page. Or how many of you sometimes receive a letter, and as you get to the bottom of the letter, you realize that everything isn't there, that it doesn't sound complete, and how can that be? I don't understand what they're talking about, so you do what the letter says at the bottom, you turn it over, and then you get the second part, and then you say, ah, now I get it. Now I understand. We talked about the first part being the commandments, and as them being rules for living, as the law of God's people, like our Constitution is today, and their purpose being the grounds for judgment and clarification of sin. And we remember that people got so preoccupied with the laws, there became thousands of them by the time of Jesus. And the people were actually bound up or in prison. They were in bondage because of the law, and we still are today because we get so preoccupied with following the law, the works, doing the good works, that we lose sight of the other side of the coin and the rest of the story. This puts us in a bondage, because day in and day out we try to follow the commands and the laws of God. There comes a point when we are so exhausted because we just can't do it. We just can't do it. The law was meant to be a plumb line. It was meant to show us what is the straight and right way. It wasn't meant to straighten the wall. It was meant to show us when the wall is crooked. And we say, what must one do to inherit eternal life? Jesus first said, turn to the commandments. Follow the commandments. Obey the commandments. Because they make things concerning God's will clear to us. They make they give us direction in right living. And they make us conscious of our sin. Without the law, we wouldn't know that we're breaking God's sin, or breaking God's law. We wouldn't know that we're sinning. And most importantly, they show us our need of the other side of the coin, the other side of a covenant, and that is grace. Jesus says, obey the commands, but he says, follow me. As Paul Harvey used to say, and now, the rest of the story. What does it mean when Jesus says, follow me? Follow me. It means to believe in who he says he is. Anybody ever tells you that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah? Read your Bibles. Yes, he does. It means to do what he says. As an example in John 14, where he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And thirdly, it means to accept what he's done for us in his work on the cross. Well, that's easier said than done. But the question is, why? Why would I want to do that? Why should I, as a human being, do what Jesus tells me to do? The fact is, the truth is, because we need to. Because I need to. I need to. Last weekend we were discussing in our pastoral counseling class the fact that we very, very seldom discuss sin anymore. Talk about all the problems we have in life and what's going on in our lives and the messes that we're in. But very, very seldom is the word sin brought up, because it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us feel less than what we want to feel. It convicts us. It makes us feel dirty. And it judges us, doesn't it, when we start talking about sin in our own lives. And as we discussed that a little bit, one of the things that came to mind was the fact that we need to sit and talk about our sins. We need to come to grips with the fact that we are sinners. And remember, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Because we're born in a condition from the womb that comes down through the years from Adam. And unless we talk about our sin, there's no need for the other side of the coin. There's no need to turn the page. But you see, partway through this document, the page is turned and we get the therefore. Therefore. And we come to the good news, because the sin is the bad news in our lives. First, we have to understand that, as Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we have to keep 1 John 1:10 in mind, where he says, if we say we've not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. So anybody that says, well, I don't really feel like I've sinned, I'm a good person, they're saying God's a liar, because God says we've all sinned and fallen short of his grace. The law proves that to us. That's the purpose of the law. It proves that we have a need, and that need is for grace. Grace is the love or the favor of God to humans. Grace is something that God showed us in the salvation of all who follow Christ by faith and receive him as Lord and Savior, and no other way. I want you to think about this. This is how God chose to show his grace: at the cross of Calvary in Jesus Christ. That's how God chose to do it. And Ephesians tells us that that pleased God, that it was that way. That's God's plan of grace for all of humanity that breaks his law. Okay? Paul spends considerable time in this in Romans, the book of Romans. He deals with his own sin. He calls himself a wretched man. He said, I see this law that's at work within me. When I want to do something good, I just can't seem to do it. I do the opposite, I do what's wrong. It's a law that's at work in the members of my body. It's waging war against the law in my mind. I know better up here, but till it gets down to here and through my body, I'm doing something completely different than what I know in my mind. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not through works, not through some other religion, not through karma, not through the yin and yang, not through knowledge, not through status, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He deals with his own sin. He knows that he needs to be rescued from death, and he is sure that this comes through Jesus Christ the Lord. And now he considers the other side of the coin, the over in the legal document, and he calls it therefore. He knows he cannot fulfill the requirement of the law, but he knows that he won't be condemned because he's in Christ Jesus. This is what the rich young man failed to do, but Paul did, and he found freedom. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to read that again, and I want you to listen. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is black and white. That's plain to every single person sitting here this morning. Because he says, through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, of grace, set me free from that old law of sin and death. He's free now that he knows he's not condemned by God. He says, because what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son. The law was powerless to save us because of the sinful nature that dwells in us. And in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, he sent his Son Jesus, that we might not be condemned. You know, we still live in this body, we still continue to sin, but God sees us in a legal position now. No condemnation. Remember the Christmas story in Matthew when the angel appeared to Joseph, said to Joseph, "Joseph, your wife's going to have a son. You will name him Jesus, because what will he do? He will save his people from their sins." That was the reason that God was coming into the world in the flesh in Jesus Christ, to save the people from their sins. In Luke chapter 2, the angel proclaimed to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ," or Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. "Behold, I bring you good news." In order for there to be good news, there has to be bad news. The bad news is that we're all going to die because we're sinners. The good news is that Jesus Christ is born, that God sent a Savior or a Messiah to save us from our sins so that we might not be condemned to death, but we might have eternal life. Biblically, condemnation is a legal term meaning guilty, and it describes a spiritual condition of judgment and penalty. Judgment, that you're a sinner, that I'm a sinner, and penalty, that I'm going to die because I'm a sinner. The Bible teaches us that. But now he says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. This is the good news. This is the good part of the gospel. This is the next page. This is the other side of the coin. There has to be the old part. There has to be the bad news in order for the good news to have any purpose. In Romans chapter 1:17, Paul says, "In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that's by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith." This is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2. He reminded them that because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. It's by God's favor that you've been saved. God, in his mercy, made us alive when we were dead in our transgressions. You know, until we come to meet Christ and accept Christ and receive Christ into our hearts, we're dead. We're dead. But God makes us alive when we're born again and we receive Jesus. And furthermore, God raised us up with Christ. I want you to think about this. If you are in Christ Jesus, and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have received Him in your heart, I want you to think about this position that you have right now. God raised us up with Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We have a high position in Jesus Christ. We're raised and we're seated. It's done. So that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness. When Christ comes back, the whole world will see what God's grace has done for his people who have received Christ as Lord and Savior. In Christ, there's no condemnation, there's grace. So in the answer to the question, why follow Christ? Why follow Christ? The answer is we need to. We absolutely need to. Because we have a condition. Paul said to the Corinthians, "As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. You're one of the two. You're not outside of all that. In God's eyes, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all will be made alive. And you know, we just sang that on the old rugged cross, the Savior died to pardon and sanctify me. To pardon me for my sins, to continue to live inside me, to sanctify me, to help me grow in the holiness and the likeness of Christ until someday when I shed this perishable body, the only thing that's keeping me from completely being like Christ, when I shed this perishable body and I die, when the Holy Spirit gets rid of this fleshly body and I enter into eternal glory, then I'll be totally sanctified. But why in the world would God pardon and sanctify someone who did not receive what Jesus Christ did on Calvary? Right? Why would He sanctify somebody that refuses to receive His Son? The answer is we need to, because we have a condition. We need grace. Grace saves us from our sin revealed by the law. Grace frees us. Grace gives us life. Christ didn't die on a cross so that we'd have an option. Isn't it interesting that both law and grace were given on a mount? The law on Mount Sinai, grace on Mount Calvary. And isn't it interesting that we receive life in a place called the skull, where there is nothing but death? That's God's grace. That He said amidst death, amidst suffering, I give you my Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have eternal life. God didn't have to do that, you know. He did not have to do that. He did it because He wanted to. Both parts of the covenant have their purpose. In the law, Jesus says, obey the commands. I say, I can't seem to. Follow me in grace. I say, I need to. I can't seem to do it the old way. I need to do it the new way. And if I'm honest with myself, why in the world would I turn down such a gift? And if I think about it for a minute or two, how else can I expect to get into God's kingdom? Because I'm a good person? Because I do a lot of good things for God, or I've done a lot of good things in my life? That God's going to put them on a scales and balance them? Do you know how blasphemous that is to Jesus Christ to think that way? That God's going to weigh my good against my bad? That's terrible theology and completely unbiblical and blasphemous to God who sent His Son Jesus to save us from our sins. God's law, God's grace, a two-sided coin of good news. God says, we're all sinners, we've all fallen short of my glory, but in my grace, I send you my Son Jesus. Turn the page over and read the rest, because the rest is good news. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A complete article with a happy ending. A letter from God ending in love. And now you know the rest of the story. Let's pray. God our Father, Your gospel is just abounding with grace. And we must look at both parts, because in the old is the bad news that we've fallen short of Your glory and that we've sinned against You and broken Your laws. But as we turn the page, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We find that You pronounce us not guilty, and that we will live because of what Christ has done for us, that He's paid the price, that He served the time, and that we go free. Oh God, what good news this is for us today in our day and age, as the world tries to give us all the bad news, it just dumps it on us day in and day out, one thing right after another. We wonder how much more we can handle, and your word to us is, your grace is sufficient. You will supply all the grace we need every day of our lives, because that is the rest of the story in you, O God. Amen.